You're listening to heritageradionetwork.org. This is a live recording from the Roger Smith Cookbook Conference.
Hi, this is Sari Kamen. I am at the Roger Smith Cookbook Conference with heritageradionetwork.org. Right now, I am here with Julia Della Croce. She is a cookbook author, a writer, a culinary consultant, and an educator. And we're going to be talking today about her latest cookbook, Italian Home Cooking. So, hi, Julia.
Hi. Subtitle, 125 Recipes to Comfort Your Soul.
That sounds really good, especially because we're in the middle of a blizzard right
yes,
now.
Yes, yes, yes.
This is a perfect day to be talking about Italian comfort food.
Well, it sure is.
Okay, so it couldn't be better timing.
Right.
So why don't you talk about a book? The book.
Yeah,
tell us
so
about the
well,
book.
Let me tell you what it's about.
Yeah.
Because the title Italian Home Cooking is very
generic.
Yeah,
what does that mean?
Yeah, but what it really means is, and what my point in this book was, is the importance of the preservation of traditional cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
As I told you, I've written 13 books, and I have been writing and talking about and teaching about Italian cooking for many, many years. But as I've been doing this, as I travel to Italy a great deal, which I do, I've been noticing that more and more in Italy, as in many other countries, France, all over the world, the cooking is being transformed by all of the influences from, global cuisine and just new kinds of innovative cooking coming up, and professional cooking influencing home cooking, whereas traditionally Italian cooking was done really in the home. The best of Italian cooking was always found in the home. But now when you go to Italy, more and more women, of course, are not cooking at home because they're out working.
Mm-hmm.
And so who's doing that cooking? The people who were doing the cooking before are not doing that cooking any longer. They're dying off. So as that is happening, the cuisine is dying. And for me, that's a really, it's frightening and it's really sad. Mm-hmm. So really what this book is about is kind of capturing the spirit of what, home cooking is in the Italian tradition. And I think it's a really important thing to do, not to lose sight of that, as we change and as cuisine changes, as it always does.
Yeah. So what do you see happening right now? The cooking's moving out of the home. Where is it going? Is it the restaurants?
Yes. Well, what's really happened is, as the nonne have, died off,
yeah,
and that generation has died off, and young women are, out like men, in professions, they're eating out more, they're, mm-hmm, eating out in restaurants. Whereas years ago, whenever I visited my family in Italy, if I would dare to offer to take them out for dinner at a restaurant because they were doing so much cooking whenever I was there, oh my God, no! Are you kidding? You're going to eat that garbage? No! You can't eat in a restaurant.
Yeah.
We're going to cook.
Yeah.
It was an insult to invite them out to eat in a restaurant because the best cooking really was done at, in the home.
Yeah.
They'd get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. You'd hear them flip-flopping around in the kitchen, making pasta, making gnocchi, and so on. But now the restaurants have really started doing that. And, in the olden days, it was the trattoria where you would find a family doing the cooking, the grandmother making the gnocchi in the back and the wife serving the food and the husband being the chef or whatever. But now the restaurant, the restaurant's really picking up the slack.
Yeah.
And Italian chefs are no longer interested in cooking their grandmother's food. I mean, this is the problem, and this is really what my book is about.
Okay.
They want to cook their food. They want to be creative, and they want to invent new things.
Right.
And that cooking is interesting, and it's wonderful. But when you go to Italy today and you eat in Italian restaurants in Italy, you wouldn't know where you were.
Mm.
It's not the traditional cooking. So I just wanted to go back,
right,
and say, this is what it is. Let's not forget these traditions.
Okay.
Let's...
So that's really the difference between traditional Italian cuisine and Italian cuisine. Like, you go into any restaurant and you're eating Italian cuisine, but when you make it, and there's a legacy involved in terms of the recipes and who created the recipes, that's the difference between the traditional that you would find in your book as opposed to, walking into any restaurant in New York and,
yes,
eating someone else's.
Yes, or even in Italy, as I
even
said.
In Italy,
you walk into,
because it does seem there's a bit of an homage that's happening, like at least with the Italian trend. In New York, it's always like, it's my grandmother's meatballs are on the menu. So at least, if not that it's inspired entirely. There is sort of like an homage that's happening, but you see this fusion, like the old and the new coming together.
Well, oddly enough, I think there's more of an homage here mm-hmm. to Italian cooking.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of reverberating here.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, chefs often go to the source, you know, they've gone to Italy, they've spent years working in an Italian restaurant in Italy, then they come back here and they open a restaurant, and there's this homage to Italian cooking. But, you know, as the cooking starts to change so radically in Italy, when we go back to learn what's going on there, we're not going to be learning what those traditions are. And so, you know, I'm concerned about them being lost. So, you know, I want them to be preserved. Yeah. So if you were to go to, you know, a very high-end restaurant in Italy now, you would probably find less traditional cooking than you would find in a high-end Italian restaurant here where there is an homage to Italian
That's
cooking. And it's ironic.
Yeah. So where do your recipes come from?
Well, I spent a lifetime, of course, in a sense, being a student of Italian cooking because mm-hmm. my mother was a very gifted cook. I'm first generation American. So I learned a great deal from my mother. I learned a great deal from my family as I, you know, went to Italy and over the summers. And I've spent a lifetime traveling in Italy and working with both home cooks and professional cooks, mm-hmm. going to the artisans who are making the prosciutto or the cheeses or, you know, the different products, olive oil and so on, the wine. So I've really learned, I guess you could say, you know, on location, in the field. Mm-hmm. That's really how I've learned about Italian.
Right from the source.
Yeah.
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 And are they difficult to make, would you say?
No, I mean,
somebody who doesn't know a lot about Italian cooking.
The beauty of Italian cooking is that it's so simple. Mm-hmm. It's probably one of the simplest forms of cooking there is, because what Italian cooking is really about is getting to the essence of what the ingredient is that you're using. So you want an artichoke to taste like an artichoke, an eggplant to taste like an eggplant. You're not building layers of flavor like you are, for example, in French cooking.
Right.
It's a very different kind of cooking, and it's a wonderful, French cooking is wonderful,
yeah.
but it's the opposite in a way from Italian
like
cooking.
Eggs.
You're always trying to pare down with Italian cooking,
okay.
and that's why eating seasonal and eating local is so critical in Italian cooking, because that's when something really tastes of itself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're calling this new here, locavorism. I mean, obviously, it's not new. They've been doing this for thousands of years, you
yeah.
know, in other
and it's
cultures. But here,
it just makes so much sense when you think of, like, of course you want to highlight the ingredient and make it an ingredient-driven meal, you know, to get the true flavor, the most delicious flavor you can access from the ingredients you're using.
Well, that is truly what Italian cooking is based on.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what would be your favorite recipe that you came across in all your field work and that
oh
hopefully would
God,
be in the book
all
so
of my
we can
field
make
work.
It?
I love the food so much. I don't know if I have a favorite, but I would have to say that, you know, Italian cooking it has its strengths and it also has its weaknesses. And I think that its strengths are in its first courses, in soups, in pasta, in risotto. That's where the brilliance is. I think the second course, the meat and the fish are literally secondary to the first courses.
Yeah.
I think the vegetable dishes are brilliant because Italy has such fabulous produce. It has long growing seasons. It has wonderful volcanic soil, and so, you know, those foods taste fabulous, and the recipes, you know, the way they're made make them taste fabulous.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about Italian food and the way that produce, vegetables, and meat are more integrated and are there's more of like you know like an equal sort of admiration for all the ingredients that make up an Italian dish, as opposed to like we're so focused on the protein here and the vegetables are so secondary, like maybe, you know, a side dish on the plate. But
yes.
Can you talk about more just about how everything is so, you know, sacred that goes into the cuisine on an Italian meal?
Yes, well, I think part of the reason for that in particular, that meat isn't the focus, is that traditionally in Italy, as in many other countries, there was very little meat.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was always just a very small part of a dish. Or pasta, for example, is a delivery system for meat and vegetables and many other things. So there was never a focus on meat, and there really still isn't. But as I think the fact that there are such wonderful tasting, you know, vegetables and cheeses, you know, and so on, just lend such brilliance, you know, to the cuisine. It's it can't help but make the flavors incredibly intense. Mm-hmm. And so that's why you're never wanting to distract from them when you're cooking cooking Italian food. You know, you're always focusing on the ingredient, as I've said, but you're also trying to create a harmony. And unlike in many other kinds of types of cooking, you don't have a lot going on. You're trying to make something very harmonious happen with a few ingredients, because the more ingredients you add to it, you know, the more you're masking the flavors of each one, mm-hmm. in a sense. And I guess what's really bringing it all together, certainly in central and southern Italian cooking, is the olive oil. Mm-hmm. The flavor of that oil, the texture of that oil, and different oils from different climates work differently, you know, with different ingredients. And so there are a lot of subtleties in the use of olive oil. And that's something that you see as you go from province to from region to region in Italy, how the oils just naturally work with the typical cuisines of those particular regions, because they're a product of the terroir of those regions,
right.
Basically.
So how did you approach regionality in terms of maybe the way you organized the cookbook, or just the way that you did your research and approach to kind of highlight the differences in cuisine from north to south?
Well, actually, I've written a number of books specifically on different regions of Italy. I wrote a book on Umbria, I wrote a book on Venice and the Veneto, I wrote a book on Roman Lazio. So I didn't do that so much in this book, but I drew from all the regions for this book, mm-hmm. really. But what this book really focused on was home cooking, really home cooking, you know, the kind of thing that you would not find in a restaurant.
Okay.
Things that are so simple that you almost think, oh, I would never put this in. In fact, many of the recipes that are in the book, I thought to myself, well, I'm not going to put this in a cookbook. Everyone knows that. You know, it's so simple. And then when I thought again, I thought, wait a second. Well, this is the whole point.
That's
no, not everyone doesn't know that.
Yeah.
Like there's, for example, there's one recipe that's so simple. It's for fish.
Okay.
A fish fillet, which typically isn't, you know, in Italy, you don't eat the fillet as much as you eat the whole fish. But sometimes you eat the fillet. And I thought, well, here we focus so much on the fillet because we don't want the bones and we don't want the trouble. We want the convenience. So we always buy fish in fillet form for the most part. So I thought, okay. But this is a traditional recipe. You have fresh sage in the garden, or you can buy sage if you don't have your own garden. You warm olive oil. You put the sage down in the pan. You put the fish fillets down for 4 minutes, medium heat. You turn them over. 3 minutes, that's it. Salt and pepper. It's so delicious because sage has such a powerful flavor,
yeah.
that actually goes wonderfully with fish. We don't think about that. Uh-huh. But the sage gets imprinted into the fillet. So you have this beautiful fillet of fish.
So it's beautiful to look at.
And it's got three ingredients.
So delicious.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So simple.
So
but there are a lot of
you
recipes
ever
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I am starving now and cannot wait to get your cookbook and make all these delicious recipes and hope that they turn out and remotely resemble.
Well, they will because they're so simple.
Because they're so simple. Okay. So I have confidence because they're so simple. So once again, it's Julia Della Croce, and you can buy her book, Italian Home Cooking, right now.
Right?
Right this very instant.
It's out.
Go buy it. Order it. Get it. Cook
or you
from
can,
it.
Or you can buy many of my other books if you just.
That's right.
Look
she
for
has
mine.
13 books, so buy them all. And we're at
thank you.
Roger Smith Cookbook Conference with HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Thanks so much for listening.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, iTunes, and Stitcher for more. Visit our website, heritageradionetwork.org, for all of our 30-plus weekly podcasts. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.